Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You podcast, a podcast where we talk about everything going on in the world of Power Rangers and Super Sentai, including the TV show, the comic books, and toy news. You know, we just like to cover everything that's going on in the Morphin Grid. Mm-hmm. This is actually episode 40. We've now done 40 of these, which is crazy. but before we get started, kind of like we do every week, and in particular because of what's been going on recently, we want to take a moment, highlight the fact that this podcast stands in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, and also want to emphasize the Stop Asian Violence movement that is currently going on globally, and specifically with what's going on in the United States recently. More and more attacks are going on within the Asian community against Asian elders and just Asian Americans in general. The Atlanta attacks being the kind of most noted recently. But we encourage our listeners to find a way that you can help out. A resource that a lot of people have been kind of sharing on social media is antiasianviolenceresources.card.co. Once again, that's antiasianviolenceresources with an S. .card.co. At that link, there are different resources where you can help, donate, become more informed, just different ways that you can get involved. We encourage our listeners to find a way that you can help that's within your means, within your capabilities, you know, becoming more informed, spread the message, stop Asian hate. In conjunction with that, we also want to stress that, again, the podcast stands in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, because these are all equally important. We point for Black Lives Matter, you know, help, donates, and resources. You can look at Black Lives Matters with an S, .card.co. Another resource of different ways that you can help out. Again, find the way that you can help. Be a hero in your own way. Again, stop Asian hate and Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we'll kind of move on to kind of the new kind of review section that we'll have for this week. We've got two episodes that we're going to be covering and an issue of the comics. So we'll start with Dino Fury Episode 5, Winning Attitude. This was a Izzy-focused episode and was kind of really noteworthy because it had a special needs actress involved, and it was specifically tied in with the Special Olympics. It was very kind of like, we were shown that before in the lead up to the episode airing, and it was very nice. The character played a major part in the show. It got to interact with all the different Rangers, and it was overall a very sweet episode, and I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Kevin?
Yeah, so yes, I definitely thought, because we've had episodes in the past where we have, like, I actually think back to Dino Charge, because our Green Ranger and Dino Charge had a track meet episode, if you remember.
Yeah,
so we've had these episodes in the past, and it definitely follows some of that standard tropes in that, you know, Izzy is... she wants to win at any cost, and then she has to realize and learn that winning isn't always everything. You know, I think it was very intentional and very well done. Having Sarah Dalton was the athlete from the Special Olympics that guest starred this week. And she was definitely a really good addition to the episode, I think, because, you know, it really highlighted for me that inclusivity and diversity that Power Rangers has always been about.
Yeah,
but I've got to be honest, if it was done by anybody else, like any other showrunner in other seasons, I feel like it would have been really, really bad. And they did it really well, and they normalized it. Like, the fact that they had a very brief discussion on what the Special Olympics does, and, you know, talking openly about disabilities on screen was just, for me, a very like a special moment for me, because I was just like, huh.
Okay. And I think kind of in a way that we've kind of complimented them before, it felt very naturalistic in the way that it was brought up.
It was
and obviously, yeah, it was hit upon. Like they definitely had Amelia kind of like, what is the Special Olympics? Kind of had that kind of, you know, leading the questions. But I felt like it came across very natural. It felt very like part of it. You know, the character of Lily, you know, the way she interacts with Izzy and Javi felt very like natural. I really enjoyed that. I think that was really well done.
Yeah. And I think it kind of continues showing that Simon and the cast and crew are really trying to hone in that element of inclusivity and diversity and showing, you know, differences. And it's really nice to see that, I think. And I think, you know, as much flack as Rangers has gotten in the past, people always forget that core idea of inclusivity and diversity has always been in there since season one. So it was really well done. I thought it was a really good way to highlight that, even have some representation on the show itself. So I think that was really well done and a really good aspect of the episode, in my opinion. I think the plot line with the trying to find the Zords and the villains being able to find it first and try to destroy them was pretty well done, actually. I think it's very interesting that they actually had the Area 62 stuff in there, and like it actually served a purpose instead of just being the evil villain's lair. So that was kind of neat. I mean, I definitely think it was a fun episode overall. I enjoyed the J-Borg and Jane moment with the kids. I thought that was actually really adorable. And I think one of the things I really do like that this season has been doing, and I've noticed it throughout the episodes, is that idea that they're showing how Power Rangers would impact the real world, because the idea of a Ranger hotline like that actually in this day and age wouldn't be that uncommon. And I think it's really cool to see that instead of just showing them running off afraid and then the set's cleared and then the Rangers can morph, like it's actually showing, like, you know, they're trying to educate people on this and they're trying to make sure people know what to do. So it's kind of refreshing. So yeah, I thought it was really cute. You know, I thought it was really, really nice to have that little song in that moment where like Jane was freaking out and the little girl like took what she said to heart and like actually did what she said. And I was like, okay, that's actually kind of funny.
I do wish with the hotline, they would show Solon answering it at one time. Cause I just think that would be amusing to me. It's just Solon being like, fielding calls as she's like typing on the computer. She's like, okay, where did you see it? Okay.
I really would love to see that in like an episode at some point, and Solon with a headset on, sitting in a computer chair, like having like whatever restaurant they mentioned in the show, like she's just sipping on a drink and she's like, uh-huh, okay, and you're sure it's a Sporex beast, okay. Yes. Someone just had a bad allergic reaction or something, okay, then you're safe.
Or she's like having to field an IT call from someone. Have you tried restarting the computer?
someone tweet Simon quickly, because they're still filming, they could still get the costume out, like there's still time. Because that would just be like a great gag of just seeing her like sitting in the chair, like just Ranger hotline, this is so long.
Yes, that would be great.
How can we save you today?
Overall, like the only thing, if I could change one thing about the episode, I do wish they would have maybe had the Izzy plot of winning be part of the fight at the beginning against Boom Tower. That would have been an interesting through line, because I do think that being a part of it, like it was hammered home, but I think there just could have been an interesting through line with like the Sporex Beast fight into kind of the civilian side. Also, like the rival, I hope shows back up that she had. Because I get why it wasn't the main focus. It was just kind of a weird side plot that didn't feel like it was as important as it needed to be. I would like that to come back. I'd also like Lily to show up again, even if it's just a small part. But overall, really did enjoy it. And for anyone watching, if you didn't catch this, there was an error in the episode. It was an editing choice. When the Rangers got into the cockpit, they showed them all inserting their sword, and they used the shot with all five Rangers, even though only four of them were there. So,
wait, what? They did that?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's literally unwatchable. I can't watch this anymore. I'm done. I'm gonna get my purse.
I roll.
God, if I was really extra, I would have actually got up and shut the door and left for a minute.
No,
I mean,
it happens. I get it.
Yeah, but it's understandable.
Just, completely understandable. I'm sure, like, in the shots where they were editing, they were like, yeah, this one works, and just kind of moved on. Probably. But yeah. But other than that...
As long as we don't have a morph where, like, there's two Ollies, and, like, one of the Ollies has a green border around him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That being said, we did get the full morph with the team, which I actually really liked it. And I don't think it took as long as everyone... Because that's been the major complaint with the Dino Fury morph, is that it's too long. It has too many moving parts. I feel like in this episode, we got a quicker morph. And we even got Izzy doing a flash morph, which we've now seen twice. So, you know, I was really excited with that. But overall, really good episode. Happy. I'm kind of excited to see where we go from here. So with that, we'll move on to the Super Sentai side of things with episode 3 of Kikai Sentai Zenkaiger, the Seriously Nu Witch, which this episode introduces the fourth team member of the Zenkaiger team, and we get to introduce to the character of Majin. Well, formal introduction, because she's been in every episode. But what did you think of this episode, Kevin?
All right, now let me get my crystal ball out. Let me take a look. No, like, oh man, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Like, it's really interesting because, I mean, we've talked about this before, and, you know, I think one of the common concerns that people had about Zenkaiger was the fact that, like, there were not many face actors, but, like, the studio actors are doing a fantastic job. The voice actors are doing a fantastic job. And I think it was just fun. It was really cool kind of seeing Majin's reaction, because she also gets to show kind of like how the Kikainoids are reacting to being in another world, and she's kind of one of the ones you see, like, she's having a really, like, you kind of have seen, like, Jiren and Gallen struggle, but, like, she really has struggled. And I think, like, it was a really fun episode to talk about, like, you know, being, enjoying what you love, even if you're not the best at it, like, just have fun with it and enjoy it. It was definitely a lot of green screen and a lot of CGI in this episode. But it also was kind of cool to see them continuing that trend of when a new monster appears, it somehow changes the world itself. So it was interesting. I definitely love the bit where they're continuing the bit, at least for right now, when before they actually morph, like, someone shoots the gun by accident early. And so this time Majin almost shot herself, which was very in character. It was very interesting. But yeah, I think overall it was a fun episode. I really do think the team is coming together really well, and I can see the direction they're going to start going in, especially once they get Froon and they realize, like, oh, the worlds are coming back if we do this, so we need to start. Like, I think once Froon really gives them, because right now for Kaito, Jiren, Gallen, and Majin, it's just we have to stop them from destroying this world. Like, they, you know, they don't realize what Toji Tendo has done and trapped all these worlds in gears. So I'm assuming that once they realize that, like, that's going to kind of give them their mission moving forward, and they're going to know what they need to do.
Yeah. It's been interesting getting that kind of all piecemealed out to us. Because whereas I feel like in, like, pretty much most previous Sentais, episode one, you're just, you, we go. We don't, we'll explain everything later, but we're just, we're going to go. So it's been kind of fun, like, getting each little component. Yeah, boy, they're like, it makes sense why we got a lot of green screen this episode, because of how the episode works, and also I'm sure it's a COVID-19 thing as well to like isolate them. It was a ton, and sometimes was a little questionable. But overall, it was fun. It was. Once Majin got her ranger form, it was interesting, like, getting to see the, like, Magiranger aspect of her come out. And, like, you know, when she did the spell and did the cups, like, the revolving cups thing, I was like, it's a very, very, like, Magiranger way to do things. The only thing is, we didn't go to a weird black screen with a bunch of fog on it, like all the Magiranger attacks.
I still really wish they would have kept the original pitch where they were connected to the teams. That would have been kind of cool to see, especially in this moment, like her being like, oh, I can use their power. Cool.
It's it, it's still a little disconnected in that regard.
Yeah. I think they're kind of learning about Sentai, but I think they're going to kind of do the same route of Gokaiger where they learn about what it means to be a Sentai.
Yeah, because I think that's where the disconnect still kind of lies for me, is like, yes, it's an anniversary season, but we haven't gotten that, like, connection of, like, you're the new team. And I think maybe we're missing that because we didn't have the movie beforehand.
Right. Well, and the movie takes place after, like, episode 8, I hear.
Okay. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. What I think is going to be interesting, and I hope will end up happening, is once we start getting gears being used from other Sentai planets.
Yeah.
And we see monsters, like, we get, like, a Gokai world or something like that, like, where they're based off of that season. Whether that means we get, like, an evil version of, like, the suit or the robot, or if it's actually based off a past villain.
Yeah. Yeah,
so definitely. I think that would be interesting. Like, if there was a Go-Onger or a Gaiark world where, like, he tries to pollute the planet, or, like, if there's a Nanashi world where, like, he tries to flood the planet, like, different things like that.
Yeah. Overall, really like this episode. One weird thing, when they turn into the mecha forms, why are they on a baseball stadium? Like, it's the one, like, weird cultural thing that I'm like, I don't get this.
I'm not sure. I mean,
it's a weird quirk of the show that it's like, when they transform into the Megazord, it's like, all of a sudden we're in a stadium.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I could think of would be maybe something along the lines of like a Goranger reference because of Baseball Mask.
Yeah.
Was a villain in that season. But yeah, otherwise I'm not really sure. So.
Yeah. It's just an interesting thing of like, this is. Like, I'm sure in, like, translation it's getting lost. It's just a very odd thing. It just, also during this fight, whatever they, she kept turning him into, like, the monster into, like, shaved ice. I was like, this would not get used in Power Rangers. That's all I could think. Maybe. I was like, this, I mean, they'd probably call it, you know, like a jelly-filled donut or something. They'd be like, we turned him into ice cream. I was like, wow, this would be fun to, like, try and translate.
We have shaved ice. There's shaved ice in the U.S.
Yeah, but it's not as much of a, like, cultural standpoint.
I suppose.
And I think it's, like, a different, like, the way we would eat shaved ice is not in a, like, Sunday dish. So, yeah. But overall, interesting. I'm excited to get Vroon. I think he's the one I really want. The villains, the, like, general, boy, they just really remind me of Go-Onger more and more. Because the one we got this episode, especially towards the end of the episode when he was getting mad and, like, the steam was shooting off of him. I was like, boy, these really remind me of the Go-Onger.
That's all right, though.
Yeah, I know that makes you happy, definitely.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, I'm excited for the next episode. Not only will we get, like, the final team member, we'll get the full Zenkaiger team. I'm excited to see, because I'm intrigued by the fact that Vroon is kind of technically working for the villains right now. I'm excited to see what that arc looks like and what he does bring to the team and how that changes things.
Yeah, that'll be good.
It'll be really good. So I'm excited. But with that, we'll move on to the comic book world. Yes. This past week, issue 5 of Power Rangers dropped. We knew there was something major that was going to happen in this one. But boy, this issue, when I say had a lot in it, had a ton of not only character introductions that are new to the series, but, like, legacy introductions and just new concepts and lore. It was jam-packed. This issue was written by Ryan Parrott, as always. Illustrated by Francesco Mortarino, with ink assistance by Simona Di Gianfelice. Colored by Raul Angulo, with color assistance by Jose Enrique Fernandez. And lettered by Ed Dukeshire. Where do we start, Kevin? Where do we start?
Let's start with the fact that Ryan definitely teased, as Power Rangers was announced and we found out they were going to go out into space, he has been teasing this premise and promise of they're going to explore with the entire toy box, not just Mighty Morphin. And
yeah,
you know, I think it's easy to forget sometimes, but like within the canon of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but also the greater Power Rangers universe, you know, even though like the events of season two are happening on Earth with Lord Zedd, the Thunder Zords, White Ranger, all that, the threats and villains that have been in existence before Mighty Morphin in canon are still out there. They're still actively doing their thing. And yeah. So I think, you know, we get to see, of course, Astronomer makes her debut in this issue. You also get to see cameos and mentions and name drops. I think one that really was I loved was the fact that Villamax from Lost Galaxy was in the Onyx Tavern.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because that was his hangout spot and that's where he was. And it was really funny because I read it in that, you know, in that voice he has, that almost Sean Connery like voice. God, that was really awful, wasn't it? Anyway.
It's all good.
It's fine. I'm not, you know, I'm not the winner of this week's challenge. But things like that. And then I think what was really fun for me as I was reading the issue, and I feel like this is the same for you, we then get a mention of Emperor Grum from SPT. And I was like, oh, that's right. Grum is out there. He is probably actively conquering and destroying. And like, he's probably already destroyed Sirius.
Well, we know from the Trial of Astronema short story.
That's right.
She hands that to Grum.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So Grum and Astronema have worked together, which that would be really fun to see on paper. I would love to see like just moments like that.
And even just the fact that SPD showed up in this issue.
Yep.
That was the big thing. When I hit that point of it, I was like, oh, I have to tell Kevin to read this before he gets spoiled.
Yeah, because it was amazing because, like, I was just enjoying all, like, the little moments and, like, just picturing in my head, like, the show and everything and how it looks. And then they mentioned Grum, and I was like, okay, that's a really nice little name drop. That's really cool. And so, like, that was, like, him, like, you know, setting it up, and then he just, Brian punched me in the face with SPD all of a sudden. And it was great. Like, of course SPD is out there. Of course SPD is actively, you know, patrolling and defending. They've been around for years.
Yeah. And so it's... Mm-hmm. I just... And then, like, with the way he writes Astronema, mm-hmm. I love. Mm-hmm. Like, so this is... So this version of Astronema, as we're being kind of introduced to her in this issue, and also in the one shot that's coming up, is not quite the, like, leader of all of... Dark Spectre's forces. She is currently in training. She's an assassin, is what we're kind of being told. Mm-hmm. And she comes after Zach and Jason because she's found out that there are Rangers in the area. And we find out that her motivation is that she's going to stop every Power Ranger that she can. And it's very good. There's this great interaction between her and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, with SPD, we find out the Omega Rangers' actions are having consequences. Because as SPD apprehends Astronema, they also apprehend Zach and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And in an interrogation scene between the SPD officers and Jason, we find out that they have Zordon's message.
Right, which we knew that would come back. And I find it amazing that we didn't see SPD getting the message coming.
I'm fascinated going forward to see who else has that message. Oh, and God. Who else the Omega Rangers could come in contact with that could cause issues.
Let's see, off the top of my head, Sheriff Skyfire, Commander Chaku, like obviously those two, Blue Centurion.
I mean, Andros might have it if they come across Andros.
Oh, yeah, Andros is out there, too. I would not be surprised. Who else is out there, like, thinking in terms of canonicity? Like, Lothar's out there.
Yep.
I can see Lothar being like, oh, let me help you, and then, like...
Laying a trap.
Right. Let's see, Lothar's out there. I'm just going through my head now. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different things that could happen. I mean, Sentinel Knight could even appear, potentially.
Yeah, there's a ton of just, like, this, like, that message existing causes so many complications for the Omega Rangers. Yeah. And on the side of Yu-Gi-Oh, so as all of that's happening, we're having this wonderful kind of continuing dialogue between Draken and Trini, and kind of them going back and forth over kind of what it means to be a Ranger, and, you know, Trini specifically questioning Draken and being like, you know, how could you turn? How could you do all this? And, you know, just like, it, just a very interesting take on, like, how Draken came to be who he is. And what I'm fascinated by, too, is it seems like there's some interesting stuff with the timeline. Because the assumption that we had made is the Imperial breaking free of whatever prison and killing the Red Emissary was what allowed Draken to escape. And we assume that he immediately went to Earth. But it seems like that's not the case. It seems like Draken was potentially bouncing around the entire universe before he got to Earth. Because he mentions coming to Onyx and that, you know, he did not make any friends here. So I'm intrigued to find out more about that.
And well, I was going to say, well, we have to remember when he jetted to Earth in Mighty Morphin 50, he was like, this wasn't the deal.
Yep.
So he made a deal with somebody. We don't know who. So there's someone out there that he is waiting for his deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. And kind of the big other, like, major aspect of this issue is in a conversation between Z and Trini, we get a major lore dump. We find out about a Edenoi philosopher, and we find out possibly, or potentially, the origin of the Imperials. And essentially, it seems like whenever the Morphin Masters created the Emissaries, the Imperials were the shadow, like the kind of other side of the coin of the Emissaries, which is fascinating. And has like a really cool implication going forward and what we're facing and what they might potentially be trying to do. Overall, I was not expecting this issue to hit as hard as it did. And I am just really excited by everything we saw on this issue.
Oh yeah, same. And it's also really interesting because, like, it touches on the idea that the grid doesn't necessarily, the morphing grid is not necessarily good or evil, but whoever harnesses the power has that choice of good and evil. So it makes sense that even though you have the Emissaries who seek balance and all of that, we talked about this a little bit, but it reminds me a lot of Dragon Ball Super's mythology with Supreme Kais and Gods of Destruction. And it's that idea of, and the Imperials have talked about that idea of balance, so it is interesting seeing this kind of come to fruition.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Also forgot they referenced Edenoi, so that's also Masked Rider getting a reference.
Well, that's not the first time, because remember, the Alphas were made by...
Yeah, that's right, yeah, by King Lixian.
So, yep, so we've definitely gotten kind of, it's interesting the things that we're getting linked in and kind of getting tied together.
Yeah.
Like, well, I doubt we'll ever see a, like, Masked Rider in this, like, series.
Right.
It is kind of fun that we are playing kind of with the full box of toys and that Ryan is finding different things to plumb, different things to pull in. And just, it makes it very exciting and kind of very cool. And again, we've talked about in this new relaunch how Mighty Morphin definitely feels like the show expanded, and that Power Rangers, in breaking free, in it being the Omega Rangers, that we are kind of in uncharted territory, and it's fun to see him kind of pull in other things. So I'm excited to see where we go going forward. With that said, the next thing to come out is going to be Power Rangers Unlimited Heir to Darkness #1, which will be releasing next Wednesday, and has apparently already sold out of its first print. Which is insane.
I won't be getting a first print, actually. So I asked my comic shop about a month and a half ago if they would put it on my pull list, and they, for some reason, it wasn't past the FOC date, so for some reason they just couldn't pull it up in the system, so I don't know what's gonna happen. They know I get Power Rangers, so I'm hoping I'm gonna message them and see if they get any extra copies just to put it in my file, but
yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it's fine. It's I've mostly been reading it digitally anyway, thanks to a certain someone.
Whoever could that be? But yeah, that's so I'm hopeful mine got it. They're usually pretty good about that.
Yeah.
They know anything Power Rangers to get me it, so I'm kind of hopeful they got me it. But I'm sure there'll be a way to snag a like first edition copy if you're looking for it. It's just crazy that a one shot in a series has sold out of its first print to me.
Yeah.
Especially for Power Rangers.
It's not surprising though, because of how much they've been hyping it, and with Astronema being a fan favorite, like it's gonna nab all the in space characters. Like my roommate, who he has like a passing interest in Power Rangers, like with the Battle for the Grid game, and you know, he's watching Dino Fury with me as it airs. Like even things like Psycho Green, he's like, okay, I want to read that because he loved In Space. So he wants to read Psychopath potentially because he loved that series. So it makes sense. Astronema is a big character. She's very popular. Like it makes sense.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of interesting just from that perspective of like where certain things pull in. Because like even like last year when the like Ranger Slayer one shot came out, that weirdly got a lot of people in. It's just kind of cool how Boom is being able to kind of like garner attention for this series that, you know, we're roughly almost 60 issues in technically, with the relaunch. Obviously that changes numbering slightly, but like it's wild because I feel like other companies are constantly like, you know, rebooting and relaunching so much that like that stuff like this doesn't happen for them, or like it does happen for them, but I don't know. It's just fascinating to me that Power Rangers is able to do this, and it's exciting. And I hope that means that going forward we get even more than just the two Power Rangers Unlimited one shots that we've gotten.
So I think. Sorry. So yeah, apparently in the news release about Astronema getting out of French, the first print running out, they basically called Unlimited a new series. So it looks like it's probably going to be kind of like certain certain things that TMNT has done, where it's like every few months is spaced out, but it's apparently a series. So
nice.
So I'm assuming. Go ahead.
I'm excited by that.
Like I think there's a really good possibility of this also being able to supplement the trades, where we've gotten stories expanding on that. Like I will bet money right now that we will get a Doggy Kruger Unlimited issue. I guarantee it that we will see Doggy get one of his issues. So just be ready for that.
Well, which makes sense with not only him being a popular character, but he's part of Shattered Grid. Again, you can tie that in very easily. But like, it's just that's exciting. And there's so much potential in just this one series. And, you know, I think fans for the longest time, you know, since Boom has taken over the license, have talked about how there needs to be something like this. It'd even be exciting to see, like, us jumping over to something like Lightspeed and seeing what Captain Mitchell is doing right now as, like, the Lightspeed powers are being kind of discovered or created. Even, like, there's so much potential in something like this. And so I'm excited to see what kind of comes from it going forward.
Agreed.
But that'll kind of wrap up the comic side of things. So moving into toy news, the reaction figures are hitting stores. So we've seen people kind of getting their hands on them and taking pictures of what the back of the box looks like. What do you think of these?
Well, there's just room for everyone, I guess. I've said this before many times. I've seen these figures in stores for what they are, to be a reference to the old style retro toys of Kenner and like the 1960s and 70s action figures. Like, that's fun and that's great. Like, you know, I'm sure many people are going to love putting Rita up with the Golden Girls on display, and it'd be to scale. I just, based on the figures I've seen, the Red and Green Ranger ones that were out, based on the promotional pictures on the back of the card, it's not for me. And that's okay. Like, if you get the reaction figures, I hope you do. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you can get a full team and, you know, get a Rita and Zed reaction figure. That's fantastic. But it's not for me.
Again, I'm going to stand by what I said, like, when we first started talking about these. It's, again, this feels like the thing you get for Christmas from your grandparents because they know you like Power Rangers and they found they stumbled across this cheap figure they could get you.
Yeah, like it's sitting on the box and on the shelf in FYE, like in that random section.
Yeah, it feels like that thing you get as a random present. So yeah, but boy, that Pudgy Pig.
Oh, they're just
that's a choice.
You know, it's the deflated one after they make him purge all this food. That's what we'll say. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I'm just like you could have picked any other villain that was vaguely more human shaped than that if you couldn't scale it right.
But it's Pudgy Pig. He's probably one of the most iconic monsters from Mighty Morphin. So
this is true. This is true.
Yeah, I also thought it was an interesting choice how they did the Rita figure. Did you notice?
No.
So she has the dress, and it's the bottom half of the figure. But they basically split the dress down the middle so you can, like, move the legs.
Okay.
So yeah, it's got the... So instead of it being, like, the Mighty Morphin 2011 figure, if you remember that, the Samurai Chase figure, where, like, it was just a hunk of plastic and that was it. Like, it actually can... You can move the leg forward, and, like, it'll move the dress part forward, too. Like, it's basically just split down the middle.
Yeah. So kind of making legs. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an interesting way to do it, so... But, not for me.
Yeah, same.
And now we now have the reaction community just coming after us.
I mean, bring it on.
No, let's just not have a harsh reaction to this. Congratulations, Kevin! You're the winner of this week's challenge.
Are you? Because I feel like you fell into the bottom two with that one.
You know, here's the thing.
Know your words, you're going to have to lip sync today.
I'd like to keep it on, please.
It's a 7-word chorus. Sorry. Sorry for our heterosexual listeners. Those are Drag Race references.
Listen, it is a 6-word chorus. Power Rangers RPM getting here.
We are not gonna.
I'm hollering.
Anyway, we're gonna wrap up today. And, you know, as always, if you want to reach out to us, give us comments, praise, tell us criticisms. If you're interested in coming on as a guest, we are actively taking in you know, potential co-stars, potential guests to come in and talk about Power Rangers. Just let us know kind of how we can communicate with you. What's the best way? We'll try to set up a time. You know, if you have an idea of what you'd like to discuss, definitely reach out to us. We're trying to set these up and going forward to kind of have that be a part of the show as we kind of move forward in episodes. And you can do that by reaching out to us on our social media at May the Power Pod on Twitter, or you can email us as well at maythepowerpod@gmail.com. If you want to contact me directly, mine is going to be at @thespispunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me at bridgemt3 on Twitter.
And so, again, thank you all for listening. Thank you for taking the time to enjoy our show. We hope that you kind of stick with us going forward. And with that,
may the power protect you.